Today is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. It's also the feast day of St. John Leonard. So the second oration, secret and post-communion, we pray at Mass today. It comes from his feast day today on October 9th. There will be a special craft fair meeting starting, Sunday, October 16th. And we're going to have that meeting between all the Masses or after all the Masses today in order to discuss how you may assist and participate with the event. So that's next Sunday on October 16th. And we do need all hands on deck, of course, because it is the greatest fundraiser that we have for the school to help pay for the lights and the salaries, etc. So please do meet me after Mass next Sunday, October 16th. Also, tomorrow is Columbus Day, and there is no school. And for those of whom may not have known that already, there is no school tomorrow. Also, coming up on October 19th, that's a Wednesday forthcoming after this week, it will mark the 23rd anniversary of Bishop Kelly's Episcopal consecration. So I ask you to please keep Bishop Kelly in your prayers, especially on that day, October 19th, the Feast of St. Peter of Alcantara. Also forthcoming, on the last Friday of October, October 28th, there will be the Sacred Heart enthronement at the school. And, of course, all of the students will be enthroning their classrooms to the Sacred Heart, and all are invited to come to the school on that day to watch the enthronement. That will be on October 28th. Also on Monday, October 31st, St. Pius V School will hold its annual All Saints Day pageant after the morning Mass. And again, all are invited to see the saints of St. Pius. They will be on Monday, October 31st. The epistle appointed read for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and the might of his power. Put ye on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and to stand in all things perfect. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of justice, in your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in all things taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the most wicked one, and take unto you the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the Holy Gospel. It's a gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to take the account, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. And as he had not wherewith to pay it, his Lord commanded that he should be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. But that servant, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And the Lord of that servant, being moved with pity, let him go, and forgave him the debt. But when that servant was gone out, he found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence. And laying hold of him, he throttled him, saying, "Pay what thou owest." And his fellow servant, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not. But he went and cast him into the prison till he paid the debt. Now his fellow servants, seeing what was done, were very much grieved. And they came and told their lord all that was done. Then his Lord called him and said to him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou besoughtest me. Shouldst not thou then have compassion also on thy fellow servant, even as I have had compassion on thee?" And his Lord, being angry, delivered him to the torturers until he paid the debt. So also shall my heavenly Father do to you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Put ye on the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the deceits of the devil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's epistle, St. Paul instructs us how we are to prepare ourselves for the temptations and the attacks of the devil. Many people seem to think that temptation itself is a sin, or it's a punishment for sin, or a hindrance to becoming holy and a hindrance to piety. Temptation is an essential part of our spiritual discipline. Our Lord Himself, willing to be and wishing to be like us in all things save sin, allowed Himself to be tempted. Temptation is the trial and the proof of our virtues. And what our virtues are worth, we do not know until they're put to the test. And that is the test of temptation. No temptation comes to us except by the permission of God. He knows our abilities to withstand the onslaughts of temptation, and we will not be tempted above our strength. It is only those who have been tried by temptation who truly will receive the crown of eternal life. A crown which St. Augustine says, no one shall obtain unless he has conquered. But in order to conquer, one must fight. If one fights, there must be an enemy and a temptation to deal with. And therefore, temptations are necessary for the trying of our virtues and proving our fidelity to Almighty God. Although temptations are inevitable and necessary and therefore to be expected, we cannot afford to overlook or despise them. On the contrary, St. Paul warns us in today's epistle that our conflict is not with flesh and blood. Our conflict, that is, our war, is with the spirits of wickedness in high places, with the rulers of this world of darkness. Therefore, our conflict is with a most formidable character. And we need spiritual armor and spiritual arms in order for us to defeat him and enter into the spiritual battle. And there are a number of rules which the spiritual writers lay down as useful to guide us in our warfare. The first one is what our Lord Himself taught us. Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Just as an army which does not place sentinels to keep vigilant watch at all the outposts will be overcome by the enemy at the outpost of which there is no watch. And so it is with our Catholic life. We will be overcome if we do not keep vigilant watch over our senses, over our thoughts, over our words, and over our actions. One will sooner or later be surprised by the enemy and fall into sin. And since all that we will do will be of no use without divine grace, we have to watch to add to our watchings the action of prayer. Our Lord didn't simply say, watch, that you may not enter in temptation. He says, watch and pray. Through our prayers, we have our Lord as our ally in the struggle. And with the psalmist, we can truly say, as it says in Psalms, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Without prayer, however, even though we be watchful, we will inevitably fail. Because our enemy is much stronger than we are, and we need spiritual weapons, which of ourselves we cannot produce. But we gain them through fervent prayer. Our Lord said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. However, in order that this grace be effective, we must give our cooperation to the grace that we've received. It will not have any effect in conquering the enemy if we do not earnestly comply with the grace that we pray for. And another rule which is absolutely necessary to observe is to avoid the occasions of sin. What would be the use of praying that we enter not into temptation if we deliberately put ourselves in the occasion of sin? If we deliberately put ourselves into temptation, that for which we are being prayed to be delivered, those who do so are mocking prayer and actually tempting God. They surely will fall into sin. They love danger, and they love to expose themselves to it unreasonably, expecting God to deliver them in some miraculous way, and that is to tempt God. Not only must we avoid the occasions of sin, but we must also and especially be on our guard against the old man that is within us, that is our flesh with all its evil inclinations and its desires. And a third rule to overcome temptations is that we should make an act of love of God and an act of the particular virtue against which we are tempted. For instance, If we are tempted to anger, and anger flares up so fast, we should immediately make an act of patience. Make an act of meekness, which are contrary to anger. If we are tempted to gluttony in food or drink, then we should make an act of temperance. The manner of acting is the most effective remedy against temptation. If we act contrary to the temptation, not only does it divert us our attention from that which is sinful, but it also weakens the temptation. It strengthens our virtues and actually takes the weapons used by Satan and turns them around against him. As he assaults us and we use them and we keep resisting, by the grace of God, we become stronger. And we can be assured that the stronger we become in our virtue because of the temptations the devil gives to us, and we keep resisting him, that he will cease in tempting us in that way, because we are becoming stronger at his suggestions. And he hates prayer, and he does not want us to become the great saint that God wants us to become. And the fourth rule is not to think that temptations are punishments. They are merciful visitations permitted by God for our greater good. These temptations are used to convince us of our own weakness. They compel us to have recourse to divine grace as our only source of strength. We should consider temptations as favors from God and receive them with thanksgiving. And the fifth rule is to cultivate a confiding love for our Blessed Mother. We know no one will perish who is truly devoted to her. We should strengthen our confidence in her by praying the powerful prayer of her rosary, especially during this month of the Holy Rosary. Don't let a day go by this month or any month without praying the most powerful weapon you have for your salvation, given to you by Our Lady, the powerful prayer of the Rosary. What more sure means and way of obtaining her intercession in the times of trouble than by being faithful to her request and praying the Holy Rosary? The last rule, of course, always to be mindful of your last end. Think of the four last things: death, judgment, and then either heaven or hell. There's no other choice. When one dies, one is judged. And at that judgment, one has chosen heaven or hell. And one chooses heaven or hell at the moment of judgment, as one deals with temptation in this world and dies in the state of grace. So if you're tempted to turn your back on Almighty God through mortal sin, the temptation of mortal sin, think of your last end: death, judgment, heaven, or hell. The moralists say, if you think of your last end, you will never sin. These are some of the rules laid down by the spiritual writers about temptation. And we must be firmly convinced that we will undergo temptation. We need them to perfect our virtues. It's a crafty delusion of the devil who tries to catch us off guard. He may not tempt us for a while, but don't be deceived. He will tempt again, but only with the permission of Almighty God. These rules are put into practice, and we were to be confronted with temptation. We can be assured that we will overcome them. Through the proper use of all of the arrangements and the armaments that God has given to us, all the armaments of the faith, the armaments of our prayer, the goodness of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we can truly know that we will be victorious. We will have the crown of victory, which Our Lady is simply waiting to put upon our heads in heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.